Lord. We truly thank God today for Mother's Day. Can we give the mothers a warm hand? Come on, give the mothers a hand. Yes, on Mother's Day, honor your mother while she's alive. I lost my mother in the year 2000, but she's still alive in my heart and in my memories. Amen. I believe I can honestly say not a day go by that I don't think about my mother and my father. I lost them both. But I honor the fact that they brought me into this world. You know, today people are allowing so many idiosyncrasies and differences to go between them and their parents. But the one thing my mother instilled in us, she said, I don't care where you get, I don't care what you do. She said, you always remember this. When she called us boy by names, we knew she was pretty serious. Right? She said, don't you ever forget, boy, I'm the bridge that brought you safely over. She said, I don't care if you're in New York, I don't care where you are. She said, don't you forget me, because if it wasn't for me, there would be no you. So today I say, children, you can be 60, you can be 70. Honor your parents. Amen. Keep them first. And don't allow petty little things to separate. Don't allow petty little things to separate. Amen. Because you won't have them always. And the last thing you ever want to do is look back with regret that you dishonored your parents. The first commandment with promise is what? Honor your mother and father. So today, if I'm encouraging you to do anything, honor them. Amen. Give them their roses while they are alive. Amen. I never saw everything eye to eye with my mom, but I never disrespected her. I was bigger than my mom. She was smaller. And when I was 12, she was with me. Seriously, I was bigger and she was smaller. And her being with me, corporal punishment and stuff, I'm just so glad she with me. And I was too big for her to whip standing up. So if she made me lay across the bed, I won't feel in all the other details. But she was big. But I could have taken that switch out of my mother's hand at any time. But the last time she whipped me, she said, boy, I'm not going to whip you no more. I was like, why, Mom? She said, you didn't even cry like you did with me. No. She said, I hurt you more than me. Right? But I honored my father. And my father, I'm just showing you how we were raised. We came from down south, where when they wanted to whip you, you went out in the woods and got your own switch. Yeah, I know, y'all know today you ain't supposed to do all that stuff. I ain't never went to jail. I ain't never been told police, so I appreciate it. But they sent us to get our own switch. And y'all don't know about this, but you couldn't bring me one of them little limb switches. When they bought a switch, they had to have one that they could pack together. Right? Because when they packed it together, it didn't break. Right? So if you went out and got a little switch, they sent one of your brothers and sisters to get the real thing. But my father didn't look at me too much. But my father did tell me, he said, boy, if you ever get too big for me to whip, and you disrespect me, he said, I will shoot you. I can tell you some stories when I did see him in action. But I never wanted to cross that line. I respected him even if he didn't threaten to shoot me. But I was bigger than him too. But I said that facetiously to say this. Love your parents.
Amen.
Honor your parents. Don't ever disrespect your parents. A lot of times when we get over 21, we think we can do our own thing. Guess what? They're still your parents. They're still responsible for you being here. So you should never get to a point where you disrespect your parents. I have my parents, let's see, go back over 50-something years, or over 40 years, and 50-something years. To this day, I never ever, God is my witness, ever said a word back. Because we came up old school. Because when you disrespected your parents, they told us you only live all your days out. I want to live a long time. I said, seriously, I want to live a long time. So I I say all that to say, love your mothers. Again, honor your mothers today. Yes, they will make you mad. You won't always agree with them. But guess what? If it wasn't for them, there would be no you. So show some gratitude. Show some appreciation. Let them make you mad, but don't show it. I was telling one of the justices yesterday. When I was in college, I went home to visit once. And when I went home to visit, you know, I did not live at home, but I did go to visit. So when I was out of college, I had my own rules and I lived by them. When I went back home, I was still trying to live by my own rules. So I told my father, for friends and I, we were going to Florida for the weekend. I said, and we will be back Sunday night. My father said, you're not going. And I, well, respect, right? Because I didn't want to get shot. So I respect that. And in my mind, I said, I don't live here. I'm just visiting. But guess what? I didn't go to Florida. And my mother came to me after. She said, son, I really appreciate what you did. I said, what? I went to Florida? She said, no, I'm disrespecting your father. Because I knew you don't live home. And you could have said, I'm going anyway. We need to love our parents. I don't care what they do. Love your parents. Amen. Let us stand for our scripture reading. I said, all to say, love your parents. Amen. We thank God for my wife and I had.
To draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink.
For his disciples were going away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou being a Jew hast to drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with us. And let's go down to verse 27. We're going to include verse 27. Amen.
Amen.
And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seeketh thou? Or why talk with her? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for all the mothers on this Mother's Day. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your kindness. Lord, we thank you that in spite of all the things that we don't do, that you're still good to us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, in spite of the fact that many times we come up short, that your love never comes up short. And we ask you this afternoon to speak a word to our hearts. Lord, search hearts. Lord, search minds. We ask you to send answers for those that need answers to problems. Lord, we ask you to send direction to those that are in search of direction. Oh God, we just ask you in the name of Jesus to send your word to heal. Lord, send your word to deliver. And send your word to set free. And for this we thank you. We all say in Jesus' name. But we should always keep God first. Last week, our message was, we should always default to the Word of God. Amen. For that example, we use the fact that Satan tested Jesus three times. And every time Satan tested Jesus, he defaulted to the Word of God by saying, it is written. It's so important today, amen, that in order to please God, we need to know what is written. Bible reading should be a daily practice. Amen. I learned as a young kid around 11 or 12. I used to read my Bible every day. We committed a scripture to memory every day. Ever since I was about 11 or 12 years old, I remember I committed a scripture to memory. Was I saved? No. But I knew I needed the Lord. Amen. I was 12 years old and I kept the same practice and the same Bible from the time I was 9 years old until I got baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost in 1976. I kept the same Bible for 17 years. No, not 17. 9 to 20. 11 years. I kept the same Bible. The only reason I got rid of it again because all it had was the Psalms, Proverbs, and the New Testament. It didn't have the Old Testament. So I had the same Bible, but that Bible was my best friend. I played sports. I played football. As I said before, when other people would be in there, you know, then I could psych myself out. I never figured this out. Yeah, PDS on blockers and all that stuff. But I knew all that. Because me, I said, I thought they were hurting themselves. So while they were psyching themselves out, beat their heads on lockers with helmets and doing all that stuff, I took a little time to pray. I took my Bible and I went aside to pray. And I read my Bible. When I played basketball, I did the same thing. I never started anything without first acknowledging the Lord. Was I saved? No. But I was taught that I needed God. So I did nothing without first acknowledging God. Every test I took, I asked God for help. When I got to college, I did not deviate from the pattern because it's something that had been ingrained in me. Because we need to know what is written. What did I say? No. Did I make a lot of mistakes? Yes. But I can assure you this, every mistake I made in my mind and in my conscience, I knew it was wrong. So I did not lay my head down that night before I asked God to forgive me and to help me to do the right thing the next day. So it's so important that we need to read God's word. Somebody said, I don't have a good memory. You put it in there. And at the appropriate time, I will assure you one thing. God will bring it out. So the devil was tempting Jesus. All things Jesus could come up to the devil was it is things happen. God will allow us to go through difficulties. And many times we equate difficulties and challenges with the fact that God has, is mad or God is upset with us. But God permits us to go through difficulties, challenges, and hardships to see whether we're going to turn in the end. In the end, when we turn to God, or in the end, because of the tension, we turn away from God. So God said, I can change your situation. But God doesn't change it because he wants to know what is in our hearts. God, you know, today a lot of people dress the part and look good for church. But how many know God looks beyond what we express on the outside? Amen. God looks into the very fabric of our souls and heart to see who's real for God. Amen. And how did we find out who's real? By sending us through a text. Deuteronomy 8:1 reads, some of the commandments. The commandments that you like. But what? All the commandments which I command thee this day shall be. So it's important to know what is in the Bible so we can observe it and do it. Now all of us are very intelligent. How can you do something that you don't know? How can you do something that you don't know? That's why Bible reading has to be a daily practice. And it's something that you've got to put in the dirt that you may live and a lot of multiply. A lot of people trying to live and increase. But they're trying to do it without God. They're trying to do it outside of his word. And then when it doesn't materialize like they think it should materialize, they get mad at God. They get mad and say, God, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. But are you keeping all of the commandments? Amen? And go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. He said, and thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God has led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee. God said, everything that you experience in life, all God is doing is trying to see what is in you. He's trying to prove you. Another word for prove is God is testing thee. God, now when he says humble, we can either submit to God or we can resist God. You can either submit to God or you can resist God. So when you humble, that means you submit to God. And I heard James say, if we will submit to the Lord, then the devil will flee from us. So God allows us to go through troubles and this situation. Even when we can't figure it out, God said, I'm trying to find out what's in you. And for that, I just say, Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. I don't want to live deceiving myself. I don't want to try to impress you more than I impress God. So God said, I'm allowing whatever your present situation to happen because I want to prove you. And he said, I want to know most of all what is in thy heart. God said, in the final analysis of the whole matter, he said, I want to know whether you will keep my commandments or not. So everything today, brothers, sisters, friends, visitors, everything we experience, God wants to know not what is your reaction to the individual, but what is your reaction going to be back to God? Amen. Are you going to allow God to test you and pass the test? Or is God going to test you and you fail the test? Well, in our story of the Samaritan woman, we know back in those days the Bible said that the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. Amen. Because Samaria, when Israel was assimilated and spread, the Jews, or the Israelites, began to intermarry with other countries. So the Jews, or the tribe of Judah, is the Jews, they considered everybody else in Samaria to be half-breeds. They considered them to be like the Gentiles, the term they used, they considered them to be dogs. So the truth is that Jesus is going from They walk all the way on the other side of Jordan, and then they were bypassed Samaria. Then they were crossed back over to Jordan and continued their journey. But the scripture said, Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. The Lord knew that there was a woman that he had to meet at the well. Amen. So he said that when he goes and he sits on the well, the woman of Samaria comes out. And Jesus asked drink of the woman. So the woman said, how did you hear you ask drink of me who is the woman of Samaria? You know the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. But Jesus was on a mission. Jesus had a purpose.
Come on.
Jesus knew there was a woman, hallelujah, that he wanted to find out what was really in her heart, what was in her family. So the Lord tells the woman, he said, listen, you worried about traditions, people's traditions. He said, you worried about whether the Jews deal with the Samaritans or whether the Samaritans deal with the Jews. Jesus said, if you knew who I was, if you knew what I had for you, he said, you would have asked him, and I'm going to give you living water. The woman said, are you meaner than our father Jacob that gave us the well? Hallelujah. Jesus says to her, I am greater. Hallelujah. Not only am I greater, he says to her, said, listen, you want the living water? He put her to the test. Right? He wants to see, what is your faith? How do you really believe? So the woman says, sir, give me this water. Jesus said, well, go call your husband. Follow me with this, okay? I'm not going to read every detail. He said, well, go call your husband. And the woman says, well, the one I'm in there is not my husband. Jesus said, you have answered true. Because God couldn't help her until she was honest. God couldn't help her until she passed the test. And Jesus said, you are right. He said, no, you had five husbands. And the one you're with now, he's not even your husband. Right? But he couldn't give the woman what she wanted in the living water until she was truthful. He couldn't give it to her until she was honest. He said, the advance is now true. Then after he revealed to give her the test to see how honest. A lot of people come to the church, but they're not honest with God. They're trying to impress this one, they're trying to impress that one. But how do you know God knows things about us that nobody else did? Nobody had to tell Jesus, you've been married five times, and right now the one you're living with is not even your husband. But the woman wanted something from God. I'm saying today, if you want something from God, be honest. If you want something from God, be truthful. It's not important what we think, because the Bible says, fear not them that labor to destroy that body. But we ought to fear him that labor to destroy the body and soul in him. God, the world has got so much of an impression on the people of God today that we are always trying to impress somebody else. And we forget that God sees us when nobody else sees us. God sees us when nobody else sees us. Then we go to God like we've been so righteous. We go to God like we've been so holy. We go to God and say, God, I want you to help me. So how do you know that every time we ask God for a prayer, God hears that prayer. Every prayer you pray, God hears it. What he said in answer that in respect to your lifestyle, what you live. Do you understand? So God a true answer when you're living a false way. God's not going to bless you to get blessed if you're not living honestly. So he tells the woman, yes, I'm so glad you answered the truth. So the woman said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Hallelujah. And she said, I know that Messiah is coming. Jesus said unto her, I can speak unto thee and thee. He said, there's a time. Now tradition says you got to you supposed to do? Take this American shot?
God's gonna test every last one of us today. God
And him only shall we serve. If you compromise, listen, compromise is so big today. I tell my wife all the time, I say, you know, I don't know how people can do this, how people can know the truth. But because of what they mean, what they believe, yeah, they tell a lie. I'm just saying, this is society today, afraid of what man can take away from them. They know the truth, but they're compromised with a lie because of what man can take. I would rather just have God say, well done, thy good and listen, please, God. It's not about trying to impress or please anybody else. I'd rather be done on our tasks all by myself and have a relationship with God than be in a whole world full of people and leave God out. The Bible says,